Hey there, all you Hepcats, cool kittens, you guys and dolls, you diesel-powered disciples of cool. This is Comic Extravaganza, the Avengers Assemble Microcast. And I am your host, the King of Swing, the Tower of Power, the artist also known as Big Daddy Cool, John Pica. You can call me Johnny. Sitting down this afternoon in the Casa de Cool in the Houdini Room, having a nice liquid refreshment in my tiki glass. How you guys doing? Thanks for joining us live on Facebook. And if you're listening to us on iTunes, make sure you send us an email or post on our Facebook page at Comic Extravaganza. Let us know what you think of the show. Our email address is comicextravaganza@gmail.com. Before we get started, we want to acknowledge our sponsors. Of course, graphicpolicy.com. They provide the best news and reviews on the net daily. And if you're into comics and politics, they're the perfect marriage. Graphicpolicy.com. And you can catch the D and Johnny show every Sunday night at 7 p.m. Central on graphicpolicy.com. Also want to thank the Amazing Amp from Empower Sound. They provide our sound amplification for the conventions and the events that we do for Comic Extravaganza and the Diesel Powered Podcast. We're going to be at the Clarksville Comic and Toy Con this Saturday, April 30th, and Sunday, May 1st. And we will have the Amazing Amp with us for the cosplay contest and for the panels that I'll be emceeing or hosting. So check them out at AmazingAmp.com if you want powerful, portable sound. Amazing Amp at AmazingAmp.com. And of course, we want to thank our returning sponsor, returning brand new this week, Comic Bento. Get a bento box of graphic novels every month in your mailbox for less than $20. They have a brand new affiliate program that we're a part of. And so go check them out at mycomicbento.com. That's mycomicbento.com, and we'll talk more about them in a little bit. All right, so this is the Avengers Assemble Microcast, where I, your comic book loving, time traveling, diesel punk, prophet of pop culture, talk about one of my two biggest passions. One is Star Wars, the other is Avengers comic books and Avengers movies too, but mostly comics. I grew up reading the Avengers comics, and I am an Avengers freakosaurus, so every week I come to you and talk about the new books that are on shelves and interesting topics. So before we get to this week's review title, I gotta show you guys what I got at Walmart. Look, I don't go to Walmart. I loathe Walmart entirely. But I was there because I had to get some toilet bowl cleaner. Anyway, found these. You guys know from looking in at the backdrop here, I'm a Captain America fan. I love Captain America. And, you know, I don't actually collect the monthly comic, but I collect Captain America merchandise. Art and, you know, figures and whatnot. And I found these at Walmart. These are Hot Wheels for 99 cents. Now, they have 8 different models. I got the Avengers. This is the 57 Plymouth Fury with the Avengers artwork on it. Jack Kirby classic. And this one. The, what is that? The 40 Ford Coupe with, I believe, that's Joe Simon artwork, if I'm not mistaken. But 94 cents each, Walmart, and they've got 8 different ones. These were my two favorite. But they've got styles and packaging artwork from the various eras of the Captain America comic. Nothing with John Byrne's art on it, though. A little bit disappointing. All right. So, time to review this week's Avengers title. There's only one Avengers title out this week, And that is the conclusion to Standoff, Avengers Standoff Omega 1-001. Now, last week I said that I was really enjoying this event because it was organic. You didn't have to buy each book to follow it. It felt very organic throughout the Avengers titles, bookended by Standoff Alpha and Omega. Omega is the conclusion to this storyline. Now, this week, Marvel teased a return of Quasar. All they showed was the emblem, but longtime fans knew it was Quasar. And the speculation was, is it going to be the return of Wendell Vaughn? You know what? I thought he was dead. Or was it going to be Phyla Vell, Genus Vell? I think Phyla, she was the last one to wear the quantum bands, but I think she died during Annihilation or the Inhumans crossover. What was it? The Reign of Kings, I think it was. I don't know. Something happened, and somehow the quantum bands were no longer with Phyla Vell. Up, we got a guest star who wants to join the broadcast. Look, Diva, say hello. This is little baby Diva. This is my sweetheart. Mwah. All right, sit right there. You can be on camera. All right, so anyway, they teased the return of Quasar. So here's where we are. Maria Hill has gotten a hold of fragments of a cosmic cube, or the cosmic cube, fragments. And they have fused together and become sentient. This has happened before. And in this case, the cosmic cube achieves sentience and assumes the form of like a 9 or 10 year old girl, a young girl, maybe 6 year old girl. Innocent, very young, malleable, and she's called Cubic. Some people have been calling her Cubic. That's what I thought it was at first, but Cubic. And Maria Hill uses, along with the help of Eric Selvig, you remember Dr. Selvig from the Avengers and Thor movies, uses Cubic to create Pleasant Hill, which is basically a prison city. Mind wipes the villains, gives them new identities, and this Pleasant Hill is kind of like, you know, Mayberry, and these deadly criminals go on with very ordinary, very bland lives. Only problem is, they start to wake up. They start to come, you know, the spell, the brainwashing isn't permanent, and Fixer finds a way to wake these folks up. And so now you've got the city full of supervillains waking up. And they're being led by Baron Zemo. So the Avengers find out about this program because Rick Jones, who has been depowered, he's no longer A-Bomb. Now he's a hacktivist, known as the Whisperer. He finds out about Pleasant Hill. He finds out about the program. And he releases the info to the world, to the Avengers. They don't like what they're hearing. They go to investigate. They get captured. They get brainwashed. They get, you know, put into Prison Hill. And then Rogue, because she was trained against psychic attacks, she's the first to wake up. She finds the other Avengers. And now we come to this issue, Omega, and it's the big showdown between the Avengers and the supervillains interned at Pleasant Hill. Very exciting. And, you know, it struck me how different the Avengers are right now with this panel, where you see a restored Captain Rogers, Steve Rogers, Captain America, giving the call to the Avengers Assemble. Now, the only two familiar faces to most of you are the Vision, Iron Man, and maybe Sam Wilson, who is the new Captain America. The rest are all brand new Avengers, really. You've got Dr. Voodoo. Quicksilver is in here. Miss Marvel, Miles Morales, Spider-Man, Rogue, Lady Thor. Nova. Very interesting group of Avengers. And I would never have thought these characters would work together. But seeing them together on this panel to assemble is pretty cool. So, couple of things. Couple of thoughts. You know, they go into battle, and here's my problem is, none of these villains are named. None of them, except for Baron Zemo, Fixer, and maybe a couple of others. And we've got Grey Gargoyle in here. We've got the Brody Brothers, I think, or the Bruiser Brothers. I forget what they're called. We got Claw. Looks like a Dr. Octopus. I can't tell because Dr. Octopus is dead, right? I don't know who that character is. Who else? Jack-O-Lantern. Graviton is named. But none of the villains are named, which bugs the fire out of me. They're just faceless characters. So what's the threat? That's the first thing that bothered me. The second thing is, who is going to be Quasar? So they teased that Quasar was going to return. I had kind of hoped that it would be Rick Jones, that he would get to be, you know, a hero again, and maybe in a more permanent fashion. Not just a sidekick, not just another Abomination Hulk character, but an actual hero, and that he would get the Quantum Man. So here's what we find out, is that Wendell Vaughn has been interned in Pleasant Hill as well, voluntarily. And the Quantum Bands are in his possession, or are in Pleasant Hill. They're in the museum that he curates. And Agent Avril, what is her last name? You know what? I don't even know. She's sent by Maria Hill to find the Quantum Bands, I guess. And she's just given the Quantum Bands by Wendell Vaughn. He explains that, you know, they were too dangerous to not be, you know, tucked away and guarded. And so she's just given the Quantum Bands. Okay. But then, when we see her in action, she just strolls in. Hey, maybe I can help. Fires one blast to bring down Graviton's force field, and that's all we see of her in action. That's it. Big return. I know. Lil Diva's sitting here. She's just shaking her head. And all we see of her next, and the whole story, this whole issue is being told through her eyes. We see her at the end training with Wendell Vaughn. So, I don't know. Here's my biggest issue with this book. In the middle of the big battle, the middle of it, it just ends abruptly and jumps to days later. We don't see the resolution. We don't see the climax. All we see is the repercussions days later. It's boom, 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 battle, 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 battle. A couple of days later. We don't see how the battle ends. We don't see how they defeated any of these guys. Just we know that they won. The Avengers won, and it's days later. Quasar has been recruited. Rick Jones has been recruited. And Kobik and the Winter Soldier end up together at the end. And they reform the Thunderbolts. Because Moonstone and the Fixer and Mach 1 and Atlas are her friends. And so she wants to bring her friends along and do good for other people. Maria Hill is put on administrative probation by the World Council. The whole thing just... it frustrates me to no end that it ends so abruptly. And the resolution just seems so manufactured. Ah! I hate it when they do that. They did the same thing with the first Civil War. You know, they built it up and then they had to end it really quickly. I would have been happier if this book had gone on another issue or two to get a really proper resolution, and it didn't. And I'm frustrated. Overall, I liked it, but I just didn't like how they ended it so quickly. Just frustrates me. All right. So, on to the main topic. Top 10 most powerful female Avengers. There was an article that appeared on Facebook this week. I posted it to Comic Extravaganza and to the Avengers Forever Forum or fan group. And there were a couple of characters on there that I was just like, really? Eh. And yes, some of them are powerful, but I don't know that they belong in the top 10. So, I'm just going to tell you that they had included Moondragon and Firestar, and they're actually runners-up for me. They're tied for 11 with the She-Hulk. But they had some other characters on there, like Tigra at number 10 and Jocasta. Jocasta has worlds of possibility, but no way is she currently a top 10 most powerful female Avenger. No way! Tigra has unlimited potential to be an awesome character, but there's no way that she is a top 10 female Avenger. And then they left out some very, very important female Avengers like Monica Rambeau, hello, and Storm, Captain Marvel, and some others. So here's my top 10. I already told you, tied for 11 is She-Hulk. I love She-Hulk. And she's like right under the top 10 for me. Because she's strong, she's smart, she has agility. But in terms of raw power, I mean, she's got strength. That's about it. Also tied for 10 is Moondragon, the most powerful telepath that the Avengers have ever had. You know, on par with Professor Xavier. But her impact with the team has been very small. Just, she's not been a good Avenger. She's been with the team. She's, you know, done some missions. But, you know, really as an Avenger, she's not a team player. She really hardly qualifies as an Avenger. Just barely. Right? Kisses. Good girl. And so Moondragon does not make the top 10. And Firestar. Firestar was on the top 10. She's tied for number 11 for me. Yes, she is powerful. Yes, she can control and manipulate microwaves, fire, whatnot. But really, she's not a top 10. So here's my top 10. See if you guys agree. And if you do, send me an email at comicstravaganza@gmail.com or post on the Facebook page for Comicstravaganza if you agree with this top 10 list. Number 10, Rogue. Oh, you didn't know? She's a member of the Uncanny Avengers, the Unity Squad. Rogue from the X-Men has the power to absorb the powers of anyone else she touches. She is a powerhouse. And whether she has, I don't even think she has, you know, Carol Danvers' powers anymore. I think she only has her own to absorb other powers. You know what? I don't even know. But that power alone, to absorb and to mimic and to duplicate the powers of anybody else she touches, is phenomenal. And if you remember, there was an issue of Uncanny Avengers back in the 80s, written by Chris Claremont, illustrated by John Romita and Dan Green. I can't remember the issue. She was the Avengers, or the X-Men were fighting Nimrod, And all of the other X-Men were, like, taken out. And Rogue absorbed the combined powers of Nightcrawler, Colossus, Wolverine, the entire X-Men team. And just like that scene in Wolverine Origins where Deadpool had all of those combined, Rogue was that character. And she took out Nimrod with the I mean, that's hardcore badass right there. So Rogue, number 10. Number 9, Miss America. America Chavez. She was part of the Young Avengers, now part of the Ultimates. I think she qualifies as an official member of the Avengers. I'm not sure, but nonetheless, she's made my list. She's super strong. She can fly. She has super speed, approaching, apparently, from Marvel Wiki, light speed capabilities. And she can travel between dimensions. She can teleport herself and other people from dimension to dimension. She can drop kick a sun, a star. She is hardcore, super powerful, and I think being completely underutilized, even though they're doing a great job with her in the Ultimates. So that's number 9. Number 8, Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers. Kree blood, super strong, invulnerable, flight, speed, agility. She can absorb energy and redirect it. That's what really makes her super powerful is, you know, those binary powers. She can absorb the power, the energy of a nuclear blast, the power of the sun, any kind of concussive electromagnetic energy. She can absorb it, store it, and redirect it. That's pretty impressive. All right, so number 7, Thor. Wait a minute, Thor? Isn't Thor a guy? Not anymore. Not since Jane Foster took up the hammer. And so now Thor is a woman. And so if we're going to talk about the most powerful Avengers, Lady Thor is right there. It's Thor, for crying out loud. Now, the only reason she's at number 7 is because she's only been part of the Avengers. She's only been Thor for a very short time. So, you know, we don't know what her ultimate impact is going to be. We don't know how long she's going to stay Thor. Eventually, Thor Odinson will return, but we'll have to wait and see. So currently, today, female Thor, Lady Thor is number 7. Number 6, Crystal. She's been in my top 10 most powerful Avengers list previously. She's an elemental. She can control water, air, fire, and what else? Iron, I guess. Earth. Unfortunately, she's never been given her full props as a character. I don't think any writer has written her to full power. Now, I gotta admit, I'm not reading the new Uncanny Inhuman series, so I don't know. Maybe I need to go pick that up and see. But if you use all of her powers in tandem, if you use her to her fullest extent, she's in the top 10 without a doubt. Not just the top 10 female characters, top 10 Avengers, period. Top 10 most powerful in the Marvel Universe. Number 5, the Invisible Woman. She's got unbelievable power, almost unlimited power. She doesn't just turn invisible. She can turn other things invisible. She can create force fields, structures, force structures, and whatnot. The Invisible Woman, number 5. Number 4, Storm. She was only an Avenger for a very short time, and then AVX took her away from the team. But Storm is one of the most powerful characters in the Marvel Universe. She can control the weather, for crying out loud, on a macro and micro scale. Macro, micro scale. That means individually around her or, you know, across a region. She can control the freaking weather. And that's just, there you go. All right. Now, really, the next three, 3, 2, and 1 could be interchangeable and maybe even high. But I'm going to rank them in order. So number three is Cersei. I love Cersei. She was brought on during Roger Stern's run. And then Bob Harris did a great job with her in The Black Knight and Crystal. But Cersei is an Eternal. Flight, limited telepathy, psionic beams from her eyes. But her power is to... she can manipulate the molecular structure of things and people. She can change one thing to another at the molecular level. That, I mean, the story of her changing soldiers to pigs in Greek mythology, that's this character. And she does it in an issue of The Avengers. I think it was, I want to say during Assistant Editor Month. Maybe, maybe not. But it was during the Roger Stern run. She turned some goons into pigs. And so Cersei can manipulate energy and manipulate molecular matter on a molecular level. That's, I mean, that's hardcore. Number two, Monica Rambeau, previously known as Captain Marvel, previously known as Photon, now currently known as Spectrum. She has the ability to manipulate, control, and become any energy form in the electromagnetic spectrum. From gamma rays, X-rays, ultraviolet light, she can travel at the speed of light. She, you know, she can become solid light. She can project holograms. She is hardcore, awesome, powerful. She can become and manipulate gamma rays. You know, whatever is in the electromagnetic spectrum, electricity, gravity, magnetism, she has been able to go one-on-one against, my video just cut out there. Hopefully it's still running. She's been able to go one-on-one with Graviton, with Dr. Doom, with Magneto. She's been able to depower the Hulk just by passing through him as gamma rays. She's pretty awesome. And then number one, the Scarlet Witch. Scarlet Witch, who has the ability to warp and manipulate the fabric of reality itself. She can change reality with the thought of her mind, and it doesn't get any more powerful than that. She is the most powerful character in the Marvel Universe, and for sure the most powerful female Avenger. So that's my top 10 list. Now, another runner-up may be, eventually, the new Quasar. But she's brand new. She doesn't know what she's doing. I don't even know that she's going to be an Avenger. She might be an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. But we'll have to wait and see. But as it stands right now, Rogue, Miss America, Captain Marvel, Thor, Crystal, Invisible Woman, Storm, Cersei, Monica Rambeau, and the Scarlet Witch. Those are the top 10 most powerful female Avengers as I see it. Let me know if you agree with that list. I would love to hear from you. Send an email to comicstravaganza@gmail.com or post a comment on our Facebook page at comicstravaganza. Now, before we go, a couple of upcoming appearances. You need to join me at the Clarksville Comic and Toy Expo in Clarksville, Tennessee, this Saturday, April 30th and May 1st. Go to comiccitytn.com. comiccitytn.com to get full details, location, the guest list. I'm going to be there. I've got a table. We're going to be filming scenes from the new TV series that we're working on, and I'm going to be hosting the cosplay contest and probably hosting a couple of panels. Mark Ballard always has me do that. So I'll be there as Big Daddy Cool. So I'll be in the zoot suit and fedora, swinging salad on the 2 and 4. Can you dig that? I knew that you could. So come up and see me in Clarksville. If you are in the Mid-Ohio area, May 7th and 8th, I will be at Rathacon. R-A-T-H-A-C-O-N. Rathacon And it's a small con in Athens, Ohio, adjacent to the Ohio University campus. I'm going to be one of the guests there, appearing as myself and as Big Daddy Cool, doing Tales from the Flip Side and emceeing their cosplay contest as well. I'll be doing a panel on Star Wars and a panel on Dieselpunk 101. And so you'll want to come out and be a part of that if you're in the Mid-Ohio area. You can find that at rathacon.org. Find out all the details. I would love to see you there. And before we go, one last time, I want to thank our sponsors, graphicpolicy.com, The Amazing Amp at amazingamp.com. Hey, baby. Oh, my baby loves me. And of course, Comic Bento. Check them out at mycomicbento.com. Get a bento box of comics, a mystery box of graphic novels in your mailbox every month, at least $50 or more for under $20. And that would be fit. This little girl loves me to death. Can you tell? Yes, I know. I love her too. Say hello, Diva. Say hello to the audience. Hey. Do you see you? For those of you listening on iTunes, you can't see, but my little ratchy dog Diva is on camera with me, and she loves being on camera. She loves it, loves it, loves it. Anyway, so check that out, mycomicbento.com. Check out our other podcasts on iTunes, the Dysfunctional Geeks podcast, and every Sunday night on graphicpolicy.com, the D and Johnny Show. Go to iTunes, leave us a review, make it good, give us a 5-star review, leave us a comment on our YouTube channel at Comic Extravaganza. Let us know what you think, make it good, help us out. And then also check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/comicextravaganza. You can become a monthly patron to help further the network, keep free content on the air. Help us cover broadcast time for iTunes and Ustream and all of our other services. So check that out, patreon.com/comicextravaganza. Well, guys and gals, that is it for this week for the Avengers Assemble microcast. We're at the 30-minute mark, so we're going to say adios. Until the next time, swing hard, swing often. We'll catch you on the flip side.